Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. California wildfires, I'm Michelle Franzen. Unrelenting Santa Ana winds fueling fires in Southern California. The Eaton Fire in Altadena now blamed for the deaths of two people. ABC's Alex Stone is on scene.
The streets around here, the homes are gone. This is where right now the flames are moving from home to home and building to building, and they're trying to knock that down with the winds getting gusty again, but not anywhere close to the 100-mile-an-hour winds that we were getting earlier today.
More than 1,000 structures have been destroyed. The full scope of the destruction still unknown. Some 70,000 residents in Los Angeles County under evacuation orders. Officials warn more are likely.
We want to make sure that everybody understands we are absolutely not out of danger yet.
The Palisades fire just north of Malibu, now the most destructive in the city of L.A.'s history. President Biden, briefed earlier today, approved a disaster declaration. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. There will be four candidates for La Crosse mayor this year, all seeking to replace Mitch Reynolds, who declined to run again. Christine Kahlo, Vicky Markison, Ellie McLoon, and Shondell Washington Spivey all filed their paperwork in time to appear on the ballot. There will be a primary on February 18th to narrow the field down to two candidates. There will also be a primary for City Council District 7, currently held by Matt Keel, who faces challenges from Gary Podesky and John Ryman. In addition to La Crosse's municipal elections, Onalaska will have a contested election for District 1 alderperson, as Jim Benash faces Tom Smith for the seat vacated by Sean McAllister. Only one candidate, Kathleen Lowendorf, is running to replace Dan Stevens in District 2. District 3's Stephen Knott is running unopposed. For Circuit Court, Elliot Levine and Scott Horn are running unopposed in Branches 2 and 4, while Joe Veenstra and Eric Sanford are competing for the Branch 1 seat vacated by Ramona Gonzalez. The city of La Crosse will once again take up the possibility of creating a city administrator position, citing the set and other Wisconsin cities such as Kenosha, West Allis, and Sheboygan, which have a city administrator and mayor. The city administrator for La Crosse would split the current duties that are done by the mayor. The salary range for the position checks in at just under $200,000. A city council workgroup will discuss the position Wednesday before the full city council takes up the proposal at a later meeting. It is not on the agenda for Thursday. The National Weather Service in La Crosse says 2024 is tied for the second warmest year on record for the Coulee region. The average temperature last year in La Crosse was 51.6 degrees, nearly 3 degrees above normal. La Crosse also set new record highs on 11 different days last year, most of them between the end of January and mid-March. It was a little wetter than usual, with about 2 1/3 inches of precipitation above normal for the year. So far this winter, 8.2 inches of snow has fallen. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
Bucks basketball tonight. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. It's the Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs tonight at Fiserv Forum. Head coach Doc Rivers says Giannis Antetokounmpo continues to amaze him with his style of play.
Giannis' athletic ability, he's one dribble away from a dunk. If you don't come, he's going to score. If you do come, he's going to pass. I think it's really helped him see the floor, and that's been good for us.
College hoops, number 7th-ranked Marquette, down 14 points with a comeback win over Georgetown, 74-66. College football, Badgers defensive back Xavier Lucas. In a dispute with the team, Lucas wants to enter the transfer portal. The university claims he signed an agreement to remain at Wisconsin. The freshman has now hired a law firm based in Miami, Florida. NFL, the Packers installing the game plan for Sunday's matchup against the Eagles. What's the concern after losing back-to-back to the Vikings and then the Bears?
Trying to make sure that everyone's still together. Offense, defense, we get a chance to go to Philly and win on their turf.
That's Packers tight end Tucker Kraft. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the low teens, and a cloudy day for tomorrow with scattered snow showers and flurries into the evening. A high to the upper 20s. Mostly cloudy in mid-20s for Friday. Into the weekend, mostly cloudy on Saturday. Some flurries and snow showers Saturday night and Sunday. It's 24 right now.
You're an organ donor, right? Here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, next up for the Packers, they take on the Eagles. What are their chances heading into the playoffs? We talk to Paul Noonan from the Acme Packing Company. Don't miss it.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 11.
You're listening to the Eagle, WLCX. La Crosse is home for Mattenair on air.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app. This is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for tuning in, listening, hanging out with us. You can be a part of this fine production. 855-752-4842. Got Jess P.S. back on the board today. Thank you, Aaron, yesterday for stepping in. And, of course, it's Wednesday, and Jess is held to introduce our friend of the day, Matt Rothschild. You might remember him from... what, the Progressive Magazine, Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and of course, a frequent civic media contributor. Matt, welcome back, man.
Hey, Dom, it's great to be with you. I always look forward to Wednesday afternoons with you and Jess. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, the holidays. And I always, you know, when the holidays are in the middle of the week, it's always kind of weird. You know, what days do you take off? It's just been really weird these last few weeks. But what I miss most, man, is I didn't get to hang out with you. Wednesdays were the holidays, so now we got some catching up to do and lots and lots and lots to talk about.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. Let's start local here in the state of Wisconsin. Matt, I know this is a topic dear to everyone who listens to this show. Voter ID. And the Republicans are wasting no time in trying to get this thing enshrined into our Constitution. The Milwaukee Journal is reporting at this moment the Senate has cleared the voter ID measure, clearing its way for final passage in the Assembly next week. Now, if this thing goes as the Republicans plan, it'll pass there. And what? It'll be as a referendum offered to the citizens of this fine state of Wisconsin in the April election, which would be the election to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Matt, you know, this, I have a lot of feelings about this. And number one is, why does this need to be in the Constitution?
It doesn't need to be in the Constitution. I don't think it should be in the statute, period. I mean, remember, this is the statute that Walker and the Republicans rammed through shortly after gaining power. And they did so in such a partisan and voter suppressive way that Civic Media's own Todd Albaugh decided to quit his job working for a Republican state senator. It wasn't Dale Schultz who was bragging about what this would do, but it was Dale Schultz's Republican colleagues who, according to Todd, who was in the room, they were actually giddy. That was the adjective Todd used, giddy that they were going to disenfranchise students and people of color. And Todd Albaugh, to his credit, said, you know, I'm not on board for that. I'm out. And so that's the law that passed, and the law, you know, had an effect. I mean, there was a study by a couple of UW scholars who said that in 2016 in Dana and Milwaukee counties alone, up to 17,000 registered voters were deterred from voting, and between 4,000 and 11,000 were prevented from voting because of this bill. And then, you know, our own Brad Schimmel, who's running for Wisconsin Supreme Court, and I know you guys were talking about him yesterday. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was bragging when Trump won the election, you know, the first time around, that he won because of voter ID, because it was suppressing votes here.
I mean,
it was having its desired effect here in Wisconsin.
That is, I guess it depends on your perspective. The desired effect perhaps is twofold. One is stated, the other one is perhaps less goes unstated. The stated reason for this, if you listen to the Republicans, is election security, election integrity, so on and so forth. But of course, as you mentioned, the reality is that it suppresses the vote. People have to go out and attain this. It becomes a little more burdensome. According to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, to obtain the state ID card, voters must complete an application at a DMV customer service center where they are required to provide proof of name and birth through a birth certificate, passport, or certificate of naturalization, Wisconsin residency, U.S. citizenship, and their social security number. You got to go to the DMV. Now, you know, a lot of folks, man, you know, it's tough. People are working all the time. Maybe they don't have a car. Maybe they don't have the resources, the availability, the ability to go out and get that done. And if you're going to throw something like this into the Constitution, what guarantees are the state providing its citizens that they will be able to get one easily? Because my recollection is that, unlike some of the other states that provided and you know, were basically a basis for the validation, the constitutionality question mark, of Wisconsin's voter ID law, was that the DMVs would stay open later and longer and have more hours. Well, here in the state of Wisconsin, in some counties, in some areas, good luck getting to the DMV once or twice a month when they're open.
The best example was up, I think, in Sauk City, where the DMV was open only on the fifth Wednesday of every month, and there was only like 4 months that had a fifth Wednesday in them. So.
Come on! I mean, go ahead.
I mean, this is voter suppression. It does cost people, you know, if they have to go, you know, go to the DMV or find their birth certificate or pay for getting another birth certificate. It's kind of a poll tax. We're going to enshrine a poll tax in the Constitution of the state of Wisconsin. I think it's outrageous.
The Republicans, Devin LeMahieu, said enshrining voter ID requirements in the Constitution will secure Wisconsin elections and make sure that it is easy to vote and hard to cheat. I've heard that a whole lot from the Republicans. You need a voter ID to get married, pick up some medications, open a bank account, buy alcohol, rent, or buy a home, even adopt a pet from a humane society. We have to make sure that voting stays on the long list of things you need a voter ID to do.
Well, I mean, this isn't making it easier to vote.
No.
This is making it harder to vote.
It is absolutely making it harder to vote. And I guess technically, your right to vote is not enshrined in the Constitution, is it? I don't know. If you don't, you're not getting medications, opening a bank account. You know, these are not things necessarily that I think are rights. You know, you don't have a right to open up a bank account. A bank doesn't want you to open up an account. They're not going to let you, whatever reasons they may have. You know what I'm saying? These are different level of rights and privileges. And the right to vote, I think, is very important. And my understanding of reading the Constitution is that any barrier into our ability and right to vote is unconstitutional. Well, we got all sorts of them. You got to register to vote. Now you got to get a photo ID to vote and get all this documentation in order to do so.
Yeah, I mean, it violates the Voting Rights Act by setting up these obstacles to get into the voting booth. And look, it's a solution to a non-existent problem. The idea that there's, you know, people impersonating voters but in huge numbers is just ridiculous. There's just an infinitesimal amount of people who ever commit a voter fraud. And so they're looking for problems that don't exist here, and they're setting up, you know, barriers for people getting to the voting booth. I was just happy to see so many advocates of democracy testify. I read some of their statements at the hearings the last couple days. My successor over the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, Nick Ramos, had a tremendous statement. I want to just read a little bit.
Yeah, please.
Did you know that approximately 10% of the voting age population does not have a valid government issue ID? He said that's nationally. Here in Wisconsin, that's about 460,000 people who don't have what it takes right now to go cast a vote here. I hear folks like you, he's talking to the Republicans, say, well, everyone ought to have an ID, right? How hard can it be? Guess what, he said, your privilege is showing.
Right.
And he talks about traveling around the entire state, trying to help Black, white, Hmong, Hispanic, disabled folks, recovering drug addicts, homeless people, elderly, students, low-income Wisconsinites, and more to either get their underlying documents, like their birth certificate or Social Security card, or help them get an ID so that maybe one day they might choose to vote. And it's hard to get them to do so. Nick Ramos asked the Republicans on these committees, Can any of you tell me how much an average birth certificate costs? Can any of you tell me what happens when one of our elderly citizens doesn't have any of the documents that it would take to get an ID in Wisconsin and can't get to the DMV? I mean, come on. I mean, so, you know, and Wisconsin League of Women Voters came out against it with a very strong statement. A lot of these great groups, ACLU of Wisconsin, came out against it. But look, we, the voters, are going to face on April 1st, when we go vote this spring, this question. And again, the way they word these questions, you know, make it, oh, sure, I'm in favor of that. So this is what it is. Shall Section 1M of Article 3, and God knows what Section 1M of Article 3 is if you're a voter walking into the voting booth on April 1st, shall Section 1M of Article 3 of the Constitution be created to require that voters present valid photographic identification verifying their identity in order to vote in any election subject to exceptions which may be established by law? You know, that's lawyers doing their work and making it appear like, well, why should I be against that? Voters aren't going to know unless they heard Nick Ramos testify or are listening to the show that, you know, 10% of Wisconsin voters don't have that. And it's going to be hard for them to get those IDs. I mean, that's what this was always about, making it harder to vote, especially people who tended to vote more Democratic.
And isn't that ironic? 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild joining me today. Get you folks on the phone, 855-75-CIVIC. And it is also ironic, the method in which they're doing so, referendum. Apparently it's fine for them, not for us. We'll dig into that coming up next. Jake from Milwaukee, you are first today. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Well, I think when you mentioned the Voting Rights Act, I think this is a ploy help gut the Voting Rights Act. We saw today that the SCOTUS was willing to go over its thing and tell the state court that he has to let let Trump's team know by like 10 a.m. tomorrow or something of their thing. So they're totally going over state courts now. So they get this. Our SCOTUS says, okay, you can use these IDs because, you know, probably it'll probably pass because people are paying attention. And then they'll be like, hey, let's appeal this to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court's going to say you can only have a valid driver's ID, period, to vote or something, or a state ID. That's what's going to happen, and they're going to start to gut the Voting Rights Act like they did the Civil Rights Act.
Thank you for the call. Jake, Matt, your thoughts.
Yeah, well, the U.S. Supreme Court has already been gutting the Voting Rights Act, and now with Trump going to be able to replace any retiring U.S. Supreme Court justice with someone like Eileen Cannon, she might be up there. You know, it's not going to be a place where if I were a lawyer, I'd be trying to, you know, bring any lawsuits because the U.S. Supreme Court is so right-wing, and the Voting Rights Act is just a hollowed-out shell right now as it is.
As the Milwaukee Journal notes, adding the voter ID requirement to the Wisconsin Constitution would make it more difficult for the state Supreme Court to declare it unconstitutional. It also would be harder for Democrats to repeal the law if they gain control of the legislature in future years. And again, addressing a problem that does not exist in any significant levels. And the payoff for that is perhaps disenfranchising as much as Nick Ramos from the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign testified, as many as 10% of Wisconsin citizens having difficulties to go get that. Yeah, Republicans, your privilege is certainly showing. So is the hypocrisy. They're going to do this through referendum, and they're going to put it on the ballot for the April. They're going to try to drive some turnout and using the mechanism, the referendums that the legislature, they're fine with if they can control who and what is put on the referendums. But what about us citizens? Oh, hell no. We'll get there next, plus more of your calls, 855-75-CIVIC. Not to put too fine upon it.
This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Hey, it's me time at Chula Vista. Time for you to pamper yourself. Wisconsin's most complete resort experience has everything you want. Fine-tuned for 70 years by four generations of the Kaminsky family, Chula Vista can be easygoing with colorful scenic river walks, 18 holes of classic golf, a relaxing spa, or you can go all out in 80,000 square feet of indoor water park. ziplining through canyon views in Chula's Aerial Adventure Park. And dining comes any way you like it, from pizza to Wisconsin's number one ranked steakhouse. More than 600 guest rooms to choose from, with $10 million in updates. Chula Vista, everything you've been wanting, all right here on site. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Miles and miles of freshly groomed cross-country and hiking trails. Ski, sled, snowshoe. Warm up at our indoor water park. ChulaVistaResort.com.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Got Just PS on the board. Matt Rothschild joining me as well. You folks on the phones and on the lines are going to get you momentarily. We're talking about Wisconsin's voter ID law. The Republican senators, the senators, they voted along party lines to approve a resolution to put a constitutional amendment to require voter ID for elections. It will now go over to the Assembly. And I'm sure Speaker Voss is very happy about that. We're going to get into more of this, but I want to get some of your thoughts on it as well. 855-75-CIVIC. Ross from Crawford County, you are next. Welcome. What do you got for us?
Hey, Dom and Matt. Thanks for having the show. And, boy, I think this is the big topic right now. So I'm going to disagree with you, but I'm not sure if I'm going to be able to articulate it. My biggest concern is that Ms. Crawford needs to win the Supreme Court election. If we as Democrats take this, what I think kind of a lawyerly sort of highbrow attitude towards having a voter ID, when I honestly believe that the average person thinks that people should have an ID to vote, even though we all understand that, you know, the Constitution and what you need and what you don't need. What I'm worried is that there still may be a Trump effect. This is going to get these people out to vote. What I think Crawford and the Democratic Party needs to do, and I think she's coming across as nonpartisan, is say that we're for, or somehow not come across as being against it, because we need to win this Supreme Court election. And if we take the high road on this voter issue, I think we're going to lose on it.
Interesting perspective, Ross. Thank you for sharing. Certainly a point, and referendums are used like this politically on all sides to drive turnout. This will drive turnout one way or the other. And I'm not sure, you know, how you or Ross or me or Matt and how we think and talk about this is going to have any impact whatsoever. Because I guess my there could be, certainly, as you mentioned, Ross, there could be some Democrats and probably are some folks out there that think, hey, voter ID is no big deal. And you know what? For me, it is no big deal. But for like 10% of the citizens of the state, it becomes a little more difficult, Matt.
Yeah, I'm not for taking the low road. I mean, I don't think we should sacrifice our principles on this one iota. I think Susan Crawford's going to win anyway. And if I had to bet, I bet this constitutional amendment passes too, because of the way it's worded and because people generally have this false conception of, you know, there's a lot of shenanigans going on at the voting booth because they've been bombarded with that for 8 years right. for Donald Trump.
Yeah.
So, you know, typically those things pass. So I wouldn't be surprised if it passed. But I think the race for state Supreme Court isn't going to hinge on this referendum issue. It's going to hinge on bigger things like abortion rights, like Act 10 and public education and vouchers and things like that, that really get to people at the kitchen table. I don't think people are staying up at night worrying about voter fraud.
Well, I'm certainly not, and certainly not in-person voter fraud. And the other thing is, and I would also articulate for Ross, it's one thing to have a law. It's another thing to have something enshrined into the Constitution. I mean, what did we do before there was, you know, photo ID? You know what I mean? Were all the elections for the last several hundred years fraudulent? Because how did you know Jim up the street was Jim up the street when there was no photo ID? You know what I'm saying? But we still have the right to vote. And it could be in the very near future with the technology and whatnot that, you know, you get your face scanned as a baby, no matter what hospital you are, and there you are, and everywhere you go, you're known. And you won't have to worry about carrying around a picture of yourself. So the technological changes have obviously evolved over the last 50 or 100 years, and they're going to continue to evolve over the next 100 years. Why would we put something so mundane and archaic as a picture requirement in our Constitution? You want to have it? It's already a law. People want to change the law, well, they can vote in a new legislature and change the law. You put it in the Constitution, it's kind of there. It's a little harder to take out. And I'm just unclear as why you would want to have something so basic into the Constitution when it's already a law. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, they want it there because they know that the liberals in control of the Wisconsin Supreme Court might rule it unconstitutional or, you know, in the coming years, as Democrats with the fairer maps get control of the state legislature, that they would overturn it. And so they want to put it in there, you know, for precisely the reason that they want to keep suppressing the vote, you know, long after this session of legislature's over.
They love the legacy, man, right? 855-752-4842. We're still dealing with the effects of the Walker administration. Hell, we got another Trump administration coming in talking about political hangovers. We'll get there as well. 855-75-CIVIC. Matt from Madtown, you are next. Welcome. Happy days. What do you got for us? Oh, Tom, I'm sorry.
Hi. Hey, I'm talking about the Walker administration. I remember 11 years ago when the jerk was in office, excuse me, he closed the West Side driver's office, the driver's
license office. Oh, the DMV? Yeah.
It. Yes. And they put it in Middleton where there were no freaking buses. Oh. None. Zero.
Terrible.
And so everybody from the West Side, and, you know, we have a lot of poor people on the West Side. They all had to take an hour and a half bus to go to the East Side to get their license. And that was done specifically, you know, to voter. You know what we're talking about here.
Yeah, to suppress the votes, Tom. I mean, if you can make it harder for, I don't know, liberals in Madison or maybe those college kids. I mean, you know.
Darn college
kids. Yeah, they can roll out of bed and go downstairs and go vote. We got to make it harder. Cleta Mitchell was literally lamenting the fact that college kids, if you have an ability to vote, it's too easy for them. It's too easy. I mean, they're showing their cards.
It's too damn easy.
It's
for
too
these,
damn easy.
For these new adults to participate in the civic process.
Don't they know they're going to listen to us for a while first? It's really disgusting when you talk. And these are the same folks that, you know, swear on their be patriotic and the Constitution and all those things that they claim. But then their actions say different. When you talk about how upsetting it is that the college kids, all they have to do is roll out of their dorm, go downstairs and cross the hall into a room and pull the lever to go vote, and that's just too easy? Well, why do you think that is? Well, maybe because demographically, statistically speaking, those folks, are especially in Madison, Wisconsin, well, they're probably going to vote more likely for the Democratic side than the Republican side. And hell, even if there's a few Republicans, they have already shown they are more happy to martyr their own vote so long as they can take away a few of yours. It's unbelievable. Folks, don't come back with us, 855-752-4842. More of your phone calls on this topic specifically, and then we're also going to get into the referendum. Tony Evers, the governor of Wisconsin, has an idea sticking it into the budget, allowing, finally, citizens of Wisconsin to initiate our own binding referendums. And, of course, Republicans have a problem with that. Come back, 855-75-CIVIC.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For AM 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. La Crosse will have two municipal primaries on February 18th, while five of the eight elections for city council will be contested. First, on February 18th, there will be a primary for La Crosse mayor, which will narrow the field from four candidates down to two. There will also be a primary for City Council District 7, with three candidates vying for that seat. Other contested elections for April in the city include City Council Districts 9, 11, 12, and 13. The spring election will be held on April 1st. In addition to La Crosse's municipal elections, Onalaska will have a contested election for District 1 alderperson, as Jim Benash faces Tom Smith for the seat vacated by Sean McAllister. Only one candidate, Kathleen Lowendorf, is running to replace Dan Stevens in District 2. District 3's Stephen Knott is running unopposed. For Circuit Court, Elliot Levine and Scott Horn are running unopposed in Branches 2 and 4, while Joe Veenstra and Eric Sanford are competing for the Branch 1 seat vacated by Ramona Gonzalez. On the agenda for the La Crosse City Council on Thursday, a resolution seeking state and federal aid to help deal with homelessness in La Crosse. The six-part request would be sent to the governor, state legislature, Congress, and federal agencies. The council will also take up two projects that would redevelop Grandview Hospital and South Library into housing. Other items include several property rezoning requests, adding annex properties to voting wards, and a few clerical changes to city ordinances. Toma police said that a man wanted in connection with a Thanksgiving Day stabbing is in custody. According to a release, police arrested a 30-year-old man at a home in the city Tuesday. David Hintz was found hiding in a crawl space and resisted arrest. He is one of two suspects in the stabbing incident. He's been charged with attempted homicide as well as several other crimes. Another suspect, 33-year-old Justin Novak, was arrested shortly after the stabbing, which left the victim initially hospitalized with life-threatening injuries. You can take Civic Media with you anywhere you go with the free Civic Media app. Download it now at civicmedia.us/app. From the Civic Media newsroom in Western Wisconsin, I'm Jimmy Cuska for AM 1490 WLCX and lacrosseeagle.com.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The Golden Globes kicked off awards season Sunday night. It was good news for the entertainment world as ratings were up across the board, including broadcast TV, social media, and streaming, despite the fact that the Globes were up against Sunday Night Football. Network TV reported that ratings were up 50% from the broadcast in 2023. The ceremony also produced 40 million social media impressions, which were more than the 2024 Oscars and Grammys had combined. Streaming ratings were up 9%. Post Malone performed with Beyonce during the NFL halftime show on Christmas Day in Houston. The night before, he was hanging at a bar called the Rail Yard with Shaboozy. That was a fun sentence to say. Malone met bartender Renee Brown, a single mom upset that she was working Christmas Eve for the first time instead of home making cookies and watching Christmas movies with her 9-year-old daughter. Her night picked up when Malone left her a $20,000 tip. Being more than 15% is so gauche. For more showbiz fun, tune into Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight, low in the low teens, and a cloudy day for tomorrow with scattered snow showers and flurries into the evening. A high to the upper 20s. Mostly cloudy in mid-20s for Friday. Into the weekend, mostly cloudy on Saturday. Some flurries and snow showers Saturday night and Sunday. It's 24 right now.
Skilled trade workers are the backbone of every community and also the Army National Guard. Soldiers train to keep the power flowing, engines running, and in every other trade needed to accomplish the mission. These soldiers are on the fast track to learning skills that can set them up for success at home with companies looking to hire the best. Their resumes are being built through their paid training and part-time service. Find out how you too can learn a trade profession by visiting NationalGuard.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, comedian Tim Cavanaugh joins me to discuss his upcoming show in Port Washington. Then TV's Mike Siegel and I discuss high school dance music. We're going to light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild joining me today. Got Just PS on the board. You folks are texting in and calling in. We're going to continue on with this conversation. As mentioned, the Wisconsin Republican-led Senate party line vote to enshrine voter ID into our Constitution. Some of the texters, one from the 608, said this. So there's a difference between voting and registering to vote. To register, you have to prove who you are and where you live. In the old days, after you provided these things, you could vote without having to prove then again. And the penalties for voting in someone else's name were severe enough to prevent that from happening in most cases. Yes, strict voter ID when you register, but no to carry voter ID every time you vote. It's hard to argue with that. Matt?
Yeah, I'm not going to argue with it either. I mean, I just remember when I was bringing my daughter to vote the first time. She just turned 18. We walked to Blessed Sacrament Church on the near west side of Madison. And, you know, I'd been bringing her with me whenever I was voting for the previous 10 years. And everyone knew who she was and who I was. We didn't need to present ID or anything. And boom, she could go in and vote. But, you know, now you can't do that. You used to be able to vouch for someone. You know, this person is my daughter, or yes, this is my next door neighbor, or yes, this is my grandmother. She doesn't have a driver's license and she doesn't have a passport, but, you know, she's lived here her whole life. She's a U.S. citizen. But you can't even do that in Wisconsin anymore. You can't sign an affidavit that says, yes, this is my daughter. She was born here, she's a U.S. citizen under this law. And now this is going to be part of the state constitution, too. I mean, come on now.
855-752-4842. Jane from Madison, she pipes in. Oh, that was Jane. Okay. Wish Democrats would counter this proposal by reminding people that proof of identity is required when you register. Yes. Once again, good points. Mark from the SAC, you have been patient and you are next. Thank you, sir. What do you got for us?
Thanks, Tom. Yeah, the first time I registered to vote, driver's license didn't have a picture on it. But the woman who registered me to vote was a woman I had known since I was 6 years old. When I was going to school with her son. Yeah, he was in second grade. I was in first. It was a combined class. I echo the point that you made. The 14th Amendment of the Constitution says, when the right to vote is denied or any way abridged, is what it says. And how the Supreme Court can engage in the sophistry that we do not have the right to vote. Of course, the 14th Amendment has been amended, and I'd say the failure of the state to provide a method for people to get the ID then is a abridgment, is a
yes.
violation of the Constitution. They should be able to, you should be able to use any form of state ID to get that, to exercise your franchise, because the state is actually, agency of the state is actually issuing the student IDs, whether it's in college, or I think a lot of cases in high schools now, they actually have picture IDs in the high schools, for goodness sakes.
Yeah.
Any state ID should make it easy as possible. These DMVs should be open 6 days a week, at least 10 hours a day, so people could actually get in and get a ID if you're going to require this, because anything else is a violation of the 14th Amendment of the Constitution, then, if you want to put that requirement in there, because then you're just violating the Constitution by not providing people the method. You're denying them and abridging their right to vote by not providing them with an easy method of getting that ID.
No, that's a great point, Mark, and thank you for bringing that up. Again, for me, it's easy, man. I got an ID. If I don't have an ID, I jump my car, go to the DMV, I'll deal with it, yada, yada, yada. But people don't have the resources. I know it's very hard for some Republicans to possibly think that people don't have the resources, availability, schedule. I mean, it can be difficult. And we're talking about a fundamental right to vote. And when I see it, you know, I got to use my ID to board a plane. I got to, you know, pick up prescriptions, you know, all those kinds of things. Okay. But are those things enshrined in the Constitution as a right? No, they are not. And here's the thing. I'm down. You want to make it a constitutional amendment. And I think, you know, putting an old ass technology like a picture requirement in the Constitution is a little backwards thinking. But let's go down that road. All right, then. How about we get Uber votes? Uber vote.
Mm.
You know what? If you don't have the ability to get somewhere and go do what you got to do, they come to you on the state's dime. You want to require something like this to be done for folks that don't have the resources to do it? Then we need to invest in the resources for them to get the ability for them to do that. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think, you know, there's no reason in the world for this to be in the state constitution. There's no reason for it to be in statute, because voter fraud was not a problem. It's not a problem before. It's not a problem today. It just hasn't been a problem. People don't want to commit voter fraud and then go to jail. That's why it's a problem. That's why it's not a problem. That's why it's an infinitesimal amount of people who've ever been charged, much less convicted, with voter fraud. This is all just part of the propaganda campaign that has been issuing out of Donald Trump's mouth for the last umpteen years. And the Republicans bought into it as an excuse to pass things like this to make voting more difficult, especially for students and for people of color and for elderly people.
Right.
And that remains the issue today. And why in the world we need that in our Constitution when it violates democracy? It violates the 14th Amendment, as Mark from Prairie du Sac said. It violates the Voting Rights Act. And it's stupid technologically, as you've been pointing out, Tom.
Come on.
I mean, 100 years from now, if this thing passes, you're still going to have to show your voter ID. I mean, that's just crazy.
855-752-4842. A different Mark from Sussex. You need an ID to cash a check, buy alcohol, drive a car, etc. Yeah, right, dude. But those things are not guaranteed in the Constitution. You do not have a constitutional right to cash a check, or to buy alcohol, or to drive a car, for that matter. Those are privileged actions, not enshrined in our Constitution. Another one. Stop it. You sound like an idiot. Everyone can get an ID from the 262. Okay, 262. My mother's been in a memory care unit for the last 3 years. All right, she's pretty much bedridden. She's got to get fed. She's got to get showered. She can't do anything by herself. Tell me how my mom is going to go get a voter ID card. Please. Edify me. 262-752-4842. How does that happen? Well, I think the easiest way for that to happen were to be for the DMV, my Uber DMV, man, my Uber vote.
Go
to mom. You go to mom, set it up, take the picture, do what you got to do. Because she doesn't have a valid driver's license. She hasn't driven in years. Folks got to stop thinking that, like, everyone is like you, 262, Mark from Sussex. Number one, the topics are different. You don't have a constitutional right to buy your booze, although maybe we shouldn't shrine that. This is Wisconsin. And, you know, people aren't healthy. People have an inability to move around. They don't have the car, don't have the resources, don't have the time. Not everybody can do it, as evidenced by testimony from our friend over at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, up to 10%. Of Wisconsinites. That is a stunning number. And what are we getting for that? For making it difficult for those folks to do it. What's the fraud? How much fraud are you preventing? Is there a number? I'd like to see the study. Why do this? Because if you don't have some sort of idea of how much fraud this is statistically going to stop and what that number is, but we certainly know how much is going to suppress it. We already know those numbers. We can articulate those numbers. But you can't tell me how much fraud was prevented.
Well, I mean, the Heritage Foundation tried very, very hard
to prove
that there was enormous amounts of voter fraud happening, and there just wasn't. Fractions upon fractions of a percent compared to at least 10% of Wisconsinites who would then have trouble voting. One of those numbers is more significant.
Yes, absolutely. And the whole point, I believe, is to suppress. And if you think they'd be going down this road if it was suppressing more of the Republican vote than the Democratic vote, you know what I'm saying? There's a history here. Why do you think Donald Trump only wanted to review and recount in Milwaukee and Dane counties, Matt Rothschild? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, this is very specific and targeted by those Republicans.
And cynical, just very cynical, very anti-democratic, small d, goes against our traditions here in Wisconsin. Before we ever needed a voter ID, and we don't need one now, but it was an attempt to limit the suffrage of people who weren't going to vote Republican.
And they'll martyr their own if they'll take a little bit more on you. Now, this is going to referendum. So it's going to go to the assembly. Presumably it will pass there, and then it'll be available for vote via referendum in the April election with the Wisconsin Supreme Court election. Journal Sentinel points out, when asked about the citizen-led referendum process Governor Tony Evers proposed last week in the budget to allow citizens, that's you and me, a mechanism to place referendum questions on the ballot, Voss called the proposal unworkable and dead on arrival. It's not going to happen, Voss said. Evers pushed back, saying that if Republicans can add things to the ballot like voter ID, then they should also listen to voters about other issues. Here's what Evers said. Republicans' message to Wisconsinites is crystal clear. Anything that gives the people of Wisconsin a voice and direct input on the policies of our state is dead on arrival. That's breathtaking. Republican lawmakers in the next week are set to add yet another constitutional amendment to the ballot while telling Wisconsinites they can't have the same power. If Republicans are going to continue to legislate by constitutional amendment, then they should be willing to give Wisconsinites that same opportunity. Pretty simple stuff. Now, citizens, this is what Voss had to say in response. Citizens can go to their legislators with ideas, and there's a process that allows new ideas to become referendums through a lawmaker's office. We put in legislation. We have public hearings. We bring it in front of our committees, discuss it, and we decide how we're going to get things done, he said. Oh, so citizens can go to your lawmakers with ideas. Well, that's a great thought. How about this? How about 60% of Wisconsinites who think abortion should be legal? Are they going to go to you with Voss with that idea? That's the majority of the voters. You're going to allow that, Voss? You're going to work that deal? Or 70% of Wisconsinites who think the state should accept federal funds to expand Medicaid? 70%! That's more than 50 in my math, Voss. You're going to allow that? You're going to let them and into your office and talk about how you're going to get that done? 86% of Wisconsinites and nearly 80% of Republicans believe medical marijuana should be made legal. Why aren't you jumping on that one? 60% of Wisconsinites agree that marijuana in general should be legal. Hells yeah! Over 60% of Wisconsinites believe a nonpartisan commission should be responsible for drawing legislative districts rather than the legislature. 73% of Wisconsinites and 62% of Republicans support paid family leave. Over 80% of Wisconsinites support red flag laws that allow a judge to order an individual to refrain from possessing a firearm or if they find the individual to be a threat to themselves or others. And nearly 80% of Wisconsinites support universal mandatory background checks on people making gun purchases, including at gun shows and through private sales. Now, those are all a majority of Wisconsin citizens, Robin Voss and Republicans, and you're fine with going through your process and doing this through referendum. Because you know what? The reason you're not doing this legislatively or you're doing it, Evers would not sign something like this right now. It's already law, and it could be challenged. It may be challenged. And if it goes in front of a liberal, quote-unquote, Wisconsin Supreme Court, maybe it's found unconstitutional. But there's a lot of items, a lot of issues out there that a majority of Wisconsinites want done, Matt, that Republicans just will not take up.
Yeah, that we have a problem with our representative government if they're not representing the will of the people. And you just rattled off a whole bunch of issues, important issues, where the elected officials under rigged maps were not giving us what we want. And I'm hoping the fair maps will end up giving us closer to what we want. But we should be able to get what we want like they can in as many as 26 states by just going directly to the people. I mean, after Act 10 passed here, they tried to ram it through in Ohio through the Republican legislature there. And guess what? They went to state referendum and it died. And guess what? In Michigan, a single individual young woman started a campaign to ban gerrymandering, and they have plebiscites in Michigan. And so they were able to get fair maps in Michigan because the people had the right to their own plebiscite and referendum. We should have that here in Wisconsin. You know, Ohio and Michigan, you know, are they anything different than we are? We should have rights that they have for sure.
Well, and especially when you have this number of issues with those kinds of percentages and a filter in the legislature and Robin Voss who decides what comes up and what does not come up. You know, we the people. I don't give a damn what your policies are. 80% of the people want some sort of medical marijuana. Robin Voss, why don't you do the will of the people?
Yeah, being speaker doesn't mean you're God or king.
Man, he's been sticking around a long time, though, Matt. Folks, this is the Dom Salvia Show. That is Matt Rothschild. We got Jess P.S. on the board, and you folks coming back on the lines and on the text, 855-752-4842.
listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has it?
No, not at all. The Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all the fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Eagle 1490 AM.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild joining me today. Just PS on the board. You folks are lighting it up on the lines and the texts. Also on the socials, we got Denise on the YouTubes. Says voting isn't an issue when you don't have an ID. People without IDs can't get basic care, housing, food, etc. Yeah, that's it is problematic. Some of our other texters, the 262, are coming back. I took my 90-year-old grandmother to vote. She no longer drives, but she can get a valid state ID from the DMV, even though she's no longer driving due to her eyesight. I took her to the DMV, and it took us 15 minutes to get an ID renewed. Wow, that's great, 262. Like I said, my mom can't walk. Like, literally, for her to move around, they got to get the hoist thing. I don't know if you've ever seen that, man. It's kind of depressing. So, how's that going to work? Again, I'm super stoked that your 90-year-old grandmother can still get around like that, dude. That's awesome. Enjoy it. Enjoy the time you can with them.
He added another text, too.
Oh, what was that? I didn't see it.
If she was a Democrat, I would have left her at home.
Thankfully, she isn't LOL. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Come on.
So you're saying that she would not have been able to vote because you're the one who took her.
It's kind of, isn't that right? If he did not do that, she would be disenfranchised.
Absolutely.
And he would be allowed that disenfranchisement if she was going to vote for the other team.
Uh-huh.
Now, my mother probably would vote Republican. I mean, that's generally what she's done her whole life. But here's the difference between me and you, 262. If she wanted to, I'd do it, regardless of who she's going to vote for, because that's her right. You see the difference, man? It's a right. And I think Troy from Mount Horror brings up a good point. Man, they're all down with the rights of guns. Troy, tell us what you mean.
Yeah, I mean, they prevent us from keeping guns away from dangerous people, and yet they want to prevent people from voting. Both of those are in the Constitution. Why is one different?
That's a great point, Troy. Thank you for making it. Matt, your thoughts?
Yeah, I got to agree with Troy on this. And you know, it just gets to fundamentals. You know, are we going to want to make voting easy? It's the basic right of a democracy. Or are we going to want to make it hard? And what Republicans have been doing under Trump's guidance, under Walker's guidance, under Voss's guidance, is to make it harder. And that should just strike people who believe in democracy, as I think almost everyone does, or they say they do. You know, we should make it easy to vote and not put up these obstacles on the way to the voting booth constantly.
Make it easy to vote and do everything you can to have an informed electorate. You know, these are the basics for a functioning democratic republic, I guess you want to call it, whatever the case is. People got to know what's going on, and we have the difficulties with that these days as well. People need access to be able to go vote. Well, we have difficulties with that these days as well. And these kinds of issues, again, what is the problem we're trying to fix? In-person voter fraud. Can anyone please tell me what percentage of the vote were in-person voter fraud in the last election? You know what I'm saying? How's that not?
It's about 0.000001.
Right. This is what I'm saying. Oh, it's so ass backwards. 855-752-4842. Annie from Watertown, you are next. Welcome, Annie. What do you got for us?
One big problem there is, like, my representative at the time, I spoke with him, Scott Fitzgerald, he told me to my face that he did not work for me. So there's a problem there when you're gonna. But I mean, he also went after voter ID passed, he was on Fox News saying Obama will get Wisconsin because of voter ID. And I think that said so much about that. And if you're gonna get into memory care and people voting, my mother held on to her wanting to vote. I mean, that's something that she's held on to, yeah, no matter what has happened, and has been very important to her in her declining years.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that she's, you know, she may not remember this or that, you know, but she knows so much what's going on, even though when we put her in there, she lost her MSNBC, which really hurt her.
Oh, no. You're going to turn the Fox off. Hey, thank you, Annie. I totally hear what you're talking about. 855-752-4842. Walter from Winona, Minnesota. Hey, Walter, welcome. What do you got for us?
I lived in Watertown, ironically, for
15 years. Well, Annie sends her regards.
Yeah, well, I was glad to get out of Wisconsin, frankly, because I couldn't take it anymore.
What couldn't you take, Walter?
Well, the everything since 2011, actually. You know, the destruction of the unions, the privatization of public schools, the whole nine yards, and the crookedness in Madison. I just couldn't stand it. So we move here, and we decide, well, it's last spring, we decide to go down to register to vote, and we bring our passport, we bring our driver's license, we bring our utility bills and all this good stuff. Woman looks at us like we're crazy. She says, we don't need all that. Here, fill out this form. Hand it in, you're done. So the next week, we go down to get our driver's license changed. And we go through the process, and they said, would you like to register to vote? And it's like, come on, man. What is this? This is sane here.
Is this heaven? No, it's Iowa. Thanks for the call, Walter. Well, it's Minnesota. Thank you, folks. We're going to come back in the next hour. There is some updates on the legal cases with the soon-to-be president of the United States, and we'll put a bow on this topic as well. Stick around. Join us, 855-752-4842. Matt Rothschild is sticking around for the next hour, and Mike Clemens, a Civic Media sports reporter, at the end of the hour.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Up North News Radio.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we'll take a look at what's to come in the 119th Congress. What issues are important to you and what's realistic to get done? Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk.
That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News, California Wildfires. I'm Michelle Franzen. Fire crews are now battling five major wildfires and up against wind gusts of 35 to 60 miles per hour this afternoon. Those Santa Ana winds fueling flames. At least two people are dead in the Eaton Fire, charring more than 10,000 acres north of Pasadena. And the Palisades Fire near Malibu has burned through nearly 16,000 acres since it began yesterday. Los Angeles District Attorney Nathan Hoffman out surveying the damage today where cars and homes were engulfed.
It was apocalyptic. I've lived here my whole life. I have never seen that type of devastation where literally block after block after block of houses that were there, you know, 48 hours ago aren't there anymore.
The DA warning people who try to loot, saying they will be prosecuted. More than 1.5 million customers in California without power, either due to fires directly or the power shut off preventatively. This is ABC News.
Enjoy.